Well, this course is called Christ the Healer. The title of tonight's message is I Am the Lord That Healeth Thee. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 15, and I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. When Kenneth Hagin Jr. was younger, his father prayed for him and he'd get healed. But when he turned 15, he had an ear problem. Apparently it was in one ear, and there was just something wrong with it and had persisted for a long time. And he'd gone to his dad and had his dad pray for him, who's got gifts of healing and ministers healing, and just we've heard just incredible testimonies over the many years of his ministry of how many people got healed by his ministry. He'd always been able to pray for his son before and get the healing. But this time, he didn't get healed. And then he went to his pastor. So Kenneth Hagin Jr., when he was 15, went to his pastor, had the pastor pray, and he still didn't get healed. So then he went back to his dad, and his dad went to the Lord and asked, what's going on here? And what he got was that his son needed to go to God himself. In other words, he had learned enough, he knew enough of the Bible, he sat in through all the classes and all the services, he knew enough and he knew how to pray, that he needed to go to God. So told his son that, and the two of them then knelt down to pray, as, you know, a child often will do to the parent, waits on the parent, you know. Dad, aren't you going to say anything? And he said, no. What do you mean, no? He said, well, I'm not the one that needs something. So at 15, he prayed, and he asked the Lord, and he prayed about healing. He prayed about his ear, and he got it, and he got healed. What we can see from that is that God expects us to grow up. God expects us to come to, if you want to, we could almost call this an age of accountability. He needed to get it from God himself. Later, his ear was tested. Both ears were tested. And they found the ear that had had the disease, that had the problem, he actually now had better hearing in that ear than in the other ear. So he really got healed. But he then had to go to God himself. So we've been talking about something similar in this course. We've been showing that faith has something to do with individuals receiving healing, that they can receive healing from God, direct themselves, by going to God in faith and believing God's word. There are other ways to receive healing from God, but our primary focus in this class has been receiving from God direct ourselves, without necessarily anyone laying hands on us, without having to go to a pastor or a minister, just going to God direct, and then what's required in that. Now, let's go ahead and look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put, and we hit on this a little bit, but some of the Hebrew scholars said a better translation of that word put would be permit. I will permit none of the diseases on you, which I have, and again, permitted on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. In the Hebrew, healer, Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, Jehovah Rapha, God your healer. I am the Lord your healer. So we see something here. He's telling us that obedience is important for staying healthy. And we talked about that with the illustration of the umbrella. It's like staying under the protection or the covering of God. When you stay obedient to God, you walk in love, you fulfill his commandments of love and the rest of the word, then you're under that protective covering. And that what happens is when we step outside of that, it's as though we open up ourselves or we expose ourselves to the enemy. God does not make someone sick and heal someone. The Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. God's not making someone sick and healing them. But we see very clearly that God here says he's the healer. He is the one that heals. And this is a statute of healing that he established with the children of Israel. It has not been revoked. It has not been changed. That still stands. Even though this is the Old Testament, it still stands. He is our healer. It is his will to heal. we know that in Malachi 3:6, it says, I am the Lord, I change not. What does that mean? It means if God was the healer in the Old Testament, he's still the healer in the New Testament. That if he didn't say he was revoking or changing this statute that he established with the children of Israel, it means it remains. But not only does it remain, but we have even a better covenant now established upon better promises. We see that in Hebrews 8:6. And it's a better promises and a better covenant because it's based on the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And in that, we see that by his stripes ye were healed. Himself bore our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Past tense. It's already happened. It's already been established. The work has been done. The word is written. Not one letter of the word is going to pass away, but it will be fulfilled. God's word will be fulfilled. It will not pass away. His word will come to pass. He watches over his word to perform it. God is the healer. He showed us that in the Old Testament. He showed us that in the New Testament. He showed us that by lifting up for Moses. He told Moses, lift up the serpent on the stick or on the pole, and that all that looked to it would be healed. All that gazed upon it, that kept looking upon it, would be healed. Why? Because God is the healer. So what they had done is they had brought, really we'll call this, a curse upon themselves by the murmuring and the complaining, and the snakes came into the camp and bit, and some died, but God provided the healing. God wants obedience from us. And that, you know, we don't hear much talked about this. It's not very common, but we're going to start hearing more about it. God wants a holy people. We've been made righteous, but he wants us to walk holy. We've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, but he wants us holy. And he wants us holy not just for some unknown reason. He wants us holy because when we walk holy, it means we walk right and we stay right with him and we're able to receive and retain the blessings from God. Walking holy is a good thing. Walking holy is a very good thing. What does that mean, to walk holy? It means you obey the word of God. God wants us obeying his word. Now, in healing, there is a God part and a man part. What do I mean by that? God's got a part, and God's part was his promise. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. If you'll do these things, I'll take sickness out of your midst. So God gave us promises, and then he gave us Jesus. By his stripes ye were healed. And what we're seeing again, God's provision for healing. God's promise and his provision. Those are the two things that we see coming from God to us in the area of healing. His promise for healing and his provision for healing. So he's made provision for it. But man has something to do with this also. Man has a part, if you will. And what is man's part? Because we see that there are Christians and not necessarily all healed. Well, why is that? We've gone into some of this before. They may not know about it. They may not know it's God's will. They may need to be taught. They may need to look at the word. Man has a part, and man's part is to obey, to believe, and to receive. To obey, to believe, and to receive. Faith must be mixed with the word of God to receive healing or any other blessing or promise from God. But faith must be mixed with the word. Let's look at, so that you can see this in the scripture for yourselves, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See that? Gives you an answer right there. The gospel might be preached, but it doesn't profit someone unless it's mixed with faith. Well, now that goes, whether that can be applied to salvation, that can be applied to healing, that can be applied to financial blessing. It didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. So faith has got to be mixed with the word for us to appropriate the blessings and the promises of God. And that includes healing. Mark 11:24 says, believe you receive and you shall have. Believe you receive and you shall have. Let me give you this illustration. I may lay hands on the sick, and we see a lot of people healed. But if I lay hands on somebody and I don't see that they got healed, it doesn't mean I'm going to stop, even though I didn't see the results that time. Why? Because God gave me a commission or an assignment to lay hands on the sick. Therefore, I will continue laying hands on the sick, even though there may be one case or a couple cases where we don't see the results that we want. but he still told us what to do. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's our expectation. That's where we keep our faith, is that we lay hands on the sick and they recover. And we don't get hung up by something if it doesn't go exactly the way we want it to. We don't stop. We don't give up. We don't quit. I heard John Wimber, who started the Vineyard Church, the first person he laid hands on died. Good thing he didn't stop, though, because he had just a tremendous healing ministry. So he kept laying hands on people, and many people got healed. But he didn't quit at that first person. Aren't you glad? I've heard similar testimonies from other ministers. When they first started, they just didn't see a lot of results. But they kept at it, kept at it, kept at it. And then suddenly they started seeing results, started getting results. But just because it doesn't go perfectly the way you want it when you lay hands on somebody, you don't quit. Why? Because we're going to obey the word. Now, healing was God's idea. And we see this in Exodus, the scriptures we were just reading earlier. God is the one that came up with the provision for healing. So he obviously knew that we were going to need it. And so he made provision for it. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Isn't he good? Amen. He knew what we were going to need for whatever the reasons might be. And he made provision. Why? Because he doesn't want us hurting. He doesn't want us in pain. He doesn't want us in any form of hardship, because he loves us. So he has left his precious word, the precious word for us to study, for us to be able to understand how to receive from him. Because he loves us. Because he wants us healthy. He wants us feeling good. He wants our bodies feeling like 20-year-olds. He wants that. He wants that. He wants us feeling good. How can we go help others if we're sick? So he wants us healthy. Why? Because he wants us blessed to be a blessing. And that's a blessing from God. So he's left his word. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are to study the word. We're to seek this out. If you still have questions, or if you're still, something's still nagging at you, but what about this and what about that? Okay, then you just need to study some more. You need to get some more of the word on you in the area of healing. You need to pick up some more books on healing till all these questions get answered, so that you can go to God in faith, in boldness, saying, I know that I know that I know. The same way I know that I'm saved, I know that I'm healed. And you just keep going after him, and you keep going after studying until you can get to that point. Because I've shown you, just through this time, these times of teaching, there's enough scripture in here for you to see this is God. This is God making provision. This is God's word. There's enough scriptures in here, right? By the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. So we've shown you a lot more places than two or three witnesses. We went through all the Gospels and pulled out all the accounts of healing and showed you how a lot of them had something to do with the individual's faith. It wasn't my idea. God loves you, therefore you're healed. God loves you, therefore you're healed. But you know what? It's not a factor there. God loves you, period. But healing, faith has got to come into it. See? Now, does that mean, well, God doesn't love me as much because I haven't gotten healed yet? No, absolutely not. That has nothing to do with it. He loves you just as much as he loves every other believer. He loves you. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is the way it works. This is the way he's got it laid out in his word. We may not understand all of why he does it this way, but this is the way he does it. So then it's important for us not to make it some big confusing thing in our mind, but to keep it simple. Remember, childlike faith. Childlike faith. He even put into us a spirit that cries out, Abba Father, Daddy God. Now, again, that was his idea. He put into us a spirit that would cry out, Abba Father, Daddy God. Daddy God. Not this. Oh, thou great Holy One, up high above, sitting on the throne. If I could just have a minute of your time. I don't mean to bother you. I know you're very busy. No, we don't need to be religious when we go to God. We don't need to be religious when we represent God. Abba, Daddy God, that's not very religious, is it? I don't think calling him Daddy God is very religious, and yet there it is in the scripture. Why did he put in there a spirit into you that would cry out, Daddy God? Because he wanted you to be his kid. He
He wanted you to be his child. He wanted that dependent relationship where you'd go to him as a loving father, where you know him as a loving father, where you know Jesus Christ not just as Savior, but as brother, as friend, not just as Lord, but as friend, joint heir. This is a relationship. Relationship. When you know it's a relationship, it's easier to go to him. When you know he put a spirit into you to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, it's easier to go to him. God, Father, I need something. I need healing. Stay with me. Help me. Help me till I get it. I'm trying. I'm studying. I'm confessing. I'm believing as much as I know how to believe. You know, there was even somebody that said, help my unbelief, right? Mm-hmm. Help my unbelief. Well, what the heck, you know, wherever you're at, right? I mean, you know, if you need mercy, go for mercy. Help my unbelief. Help me get past it. I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to study on the subject of healing. I'm going to grow myself. I'm going to grow my faith. Help me. Help me till I get it. Till I get it. And I'm telling you, you can get it. You can get it. I've gotten it. I've gotten it a whole bunch of times. I've watched other people get it. You can get it. You can get it. You just stay in there with determination, perseverance, and you'll get it. Why? Because he's a loving father. He's so good. When I needed healing and I didn't know how to get it myself, I'd read as much as I knew to read. I'd gone to, well, the church that I was in. I wanted information on this. I read the word. I kept seeing this. Their faith has something to do with it, God. You know what he did? He just sent me to a Bible school where they could teach me. He did help me. He did help me. Now, maybe that healing didn't manifest by itself like that when I was first asking him, because I wasn't in faith yet. He sent me somewhere where I could learn what faith was and get myself into faith, get myself built up, and then believe him, and then get the results. He's good. He won't leave you. Keep pursuing him. Keep going after him, and he'll give you what you need. Like the judge that kept knocking. Knock, 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 knock. Give them what they need. Give them what they want, or they're going to keep bugging us. Give them what they want. Now, that doesn't mean we go to him in meaningless repetition. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're determined and you go to him, you'll get it. You know, I think God likes it when we don't give up. I'm going to get there. And if I can't go over it, I'm going to go around it. If I can't go around it, I'm going to go under it. But I'm going to get where I need to get. And if I have to go to the left, I'll go to the left. If I have to go to the right, I'll go to the right. But I'm going to get where I need to get. And I'm going to go how I need to go, but I'm going to get there. And that's determination. But you can grab a hold of things in the spirit. Determination is similar to faith. You can grab a hold of things that way. I'm not letting go till I get this. There are times I've gone to God in prayer because I needed answers for something. And I just said, okay, my attitude basically is get comfortable, because I'm not leaving till I get it. I'm not leaving until we get the answer. So get comfortable. And that's not that, just in other words, I'm going to stay with this until I get it. I'm going to stay with this till I get an answer. I'm going to stay with it until I get the results. Sometimes you just got to be determined. We're going to get this. We're going to get this. Jesus never refused anyone that came to him for healing. That shows us God's will. But now, how did Jesus pray? Because we can model after him. And usually he spoke words similar to something like be healed or something like that. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 11, 41. We'll start around there. And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father. Now here we see that Jesus prayed, right? A lot of times he just spoke. He just commanded something. But here we see this. Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So there we see that he didn't ask God. We're not seeing that he asked God, oh God, I pray that you would heal him. Yes, he has talked to God. But then he commands it, Lazarus, come forth. God gives good gifts. God's will is to give good gifts to his children, and healing is a good gift. We don't have to question whether or not it's his will. It is his will. Our Heavenly Father loves us, and he wants the best for us. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Do you agree that healing is a good thing? Healing is a good thing. And you've heard, well, maybe some of you haven't heard this, but Pastor Brad, when they were teaching, maybe he hasn't shared this with you, but Pastor Brad
when they were teaching the healing class at Rhema when we were in Bible school, had a horrible cough. Lasted for a couple weeks. It was so bad. I remember at least one time where he got up, and it's not like we were at the end of the row where it was easy and our chairs were close together. There wasn't a lot of room to get out. And he worked his way all the way out to get out into the hall. And then the floors were like a tile type or a laminate something. Anyway, not carpet. And so I think he was being quiet, and he'd go cough out there, and you could hear this just echo, echo. And I'm sitting there going, oh, we're in healing class. Oh. And yet he got it. He stayed with it. We can just look at things as being opportunities to learn. I grew up financially, whatever you would call it, well-to-do. I had everything I wanted. I wasn't spoiled because I knew my dad worked hard, so I was considerate of that. But when I went to Rhema, they said pretty much everybody that goes to Bible school here will go through a financial hard time. And I thought, oh, not us. Not us. Not us. And, oh, we did. We got down to basically zero, where I believed God for groceries. Okay, I'm sorry. It was fun. You can look at these things and get upset over them, or you can think, praise God for this opportunity because I get to use my faith and I get to find out how much faith I really have. And we're going to have to build this up, and we're going to have to really learn how to do this, and we're going to have to learn how to apply this. It was an absolute blast. It was like an adventure. You just didn't know. It was like, okay, how am I going to pay my tuition? I have no idea. I had no idea. It was just absolutely so much fun. I mean, now granted, it's more fun to have a lot of money and not have to do that. But the reality is, hello, if you're going into ministry, okay, you may not have to believe God for groceries. Now you believe God for everybody's salary in your church. Okay, you may not have to believe God for groceries. Now you believe God for a house. Okay, you may not have to believe God for groceries. Now you pay the lease on a building. How would you like to be the Copelands? Pay for their TV ministry. I don't know if it's even in the millions. Maybe it's gone beyond that. But these things are opportunities. You got to get it. You got to get it in the little areas so that God can use you to be a blessing in bigger areas. Why am I talking about the money part? Because it's the same application, just different area to healing. So if there's a cough, because you'll never have to do that in heaven. Do you understand? You will never have to fight that battle in heaven. Your opportunity to overcome the adversary is here while you're on the earth. It's right here. It's right now. It's clear sailing when you're in heaven. You got to get it now. You got to learn it now. And when you get it and you learn it for yourself, a couple things happen. You know it well enough to teach it, and you can teach it with confidence. And when you know you get it, you know you've got the faith to lay hands on the sick because you've seen it work. Amen. You've watched it work. You've got the experience. It's an opportunity. And I shared some private things with you guys in this class that I haven't shared before. And every time I just thought, praise the Lord, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It was a reoccurring opportunity where I just got to exercise my faith. Praise God for it. So don't avoid condemnation and guilt and all that stuff. And that's what Brad had to do when he was in that healing class and he was coughing. I didn't hear anybody else coughing. I don't remember anybody else coughing. I just remember my husband having to get up and leave the room. And I remember looking up at the teacher, and I remember thinking, oh, inside, oh. But he got it, and he had a friend stop him on the way home one day that was in that same class, who's a precious friend, and he's now pastoring a church somewhere, and said, Brad, just want to talk to you about something that God shared with me. You've got to get your spirit built up. You're doing all the right things. You're confessing the word. You know the scriptures, but you've got to get your spirit built up strong enough to be able to grab hold of this by faith, to be able to grab it. So he needed to spend more time in the word, and he did. He needed to spend more time just flat out reading scripture, being in the word of God. And so that's what Brad did, and that's what this friend of ours did. When he had gotten sick earlier, he pulled back, he took a day or two off of work, laid in bed, and read the word. Read the word, read the word, read the word, read the word, got up, healed. What did he do? He built his spirit up. So what happens is sometimes, let's use this area as an example, everybody works at a really tough pace here. There can be a lot of stress, there can be a lot of pressure, mm-hmm. and that can kind of create a certain atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And hear me in this, it drains you spiritually. Stress will drain you spiritually. Remember me talking about like that holes in the colander? It's a drain on your spirit. So if you're in a very stressful environment, a very stressful workplace, you're going to need to put more of the Word of God into you. So that's from God right now. Yep. So he's showing you something here. And so this is a tip, you know, because you can say, well, you know, I'm quoting the scriptures on my way to work and I'm doing what I know to do and I'm diligently reading here and reading there. But if you've got to realize the atmosphere you work in and the atmosphere you live in. All right. And if you're in an atmosphere, if you're surrounded by people that are swearing or a lot of demonic stuff, whatever it may be. I mean, I know there are people that have worked with people that were into witchcraft and a lot of stuff. That's a draining atmosphere. But even stress can be draining. So you need to look at stress and realize the Bible says, see, then we need to look at ourselves and kind of look at obedience. Cast all your care upon him. So you need to kind of go back and say, am I really being a doer of the word? And sometimes responsible people think they're being responsible by carrying the cares. But it's not necessarily being responsible. We need to figure out a way to be responsible without carrying the cares. And those cares need to be put over onto Jesus. You've got to turn the cares over onto him. And when you do that, your spirit won't be drained. So that when you put the word of God in, it's like a bowl and it'll retain it. You're not going to have these holes draining you out. So you want to protect your spirit. You want to guard your spirit, right? Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. You've got to guard your heart. Why do you have to guard your heart? Because that's where faith is. Faith is of the heart. So you need to guard your heart. Even when you go into a work atmosphere, everybody else may be panicking. It may be this season or that season. And you just say, but I'm not going to let it affect me. And I may need to make some decisions and put up some healthy boundary lines about what I'm willing to do and not do, when I'm willing to work and not work. And it's okay for me to have some healthy boundary lines. Overtime is a good thing. But if somebody works you overtime so much that it depletes your spirit, then it's not good for you. God doesn't want that. I mean, he wants you to have lots of finances, but not at the expense of your spirit. So you've got to find that balance. We are in this Bay Area. This is where we live. So we need to guard our spirit and be a doer of the word. And it's real easy to think, well, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything. I didn't murder anyone today. And so I haven't sinned, right? Well, really, people think, well, adultery is sin and murder is sin. I didn't steal anything and I didn't lie. So I haven't sinned. But the reality is, people think, how can that person smoke? And yet worry is a horrible sin. Worry, anxiety, it's sin. Now, it's important for us to talk about this because it drains you spiritually. God does not want you to get drained spiritually. So that's why he's telling you not to do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You've got to retrain yourself, especially if you had parents that worried a lot, were anxious a lot, or if that's just been a tendency in your personality. You got to pull away from that and guard yourself from it. Guard your spirit when you sense that coming on. I have. Brad's shifted some things and given me some new responsibilities, and then I'm still teaching and I'm doing a lot more. And my son just picked up tennis, and so now I've got to do. Now I'm in two carpools. I still need to do all the other things that I was doing before, and I have to figure out how I'm going to make this all work. And I'm driving all the way down to Sunnyvale, and then I'm driving all the way up here, and sometimes now twice a day because I've got appointments with people. And there's just a lot. And then I just found myself thinking, I really thought about this. I could get really overwhelmed, but I'm not going to. Now, that doesn't mean that I was being irresponsible. I'm still doing everything, but I've just submitted it to God. Father, you know my time. You know the amount of time I have. You know how much time I have to prepare this and that. And so now I'm trusting you and I'm leaning on you. I've been diligent. I've done my part. I'm going to lean on you. I'm leaning on you to make it all work. I'm leaning on you to bring this about. I'm leaning on you to help me with this. And I'm not going to get into worry, and I'm not going to get into anxiety, and I trust you. And then peace. So when that temptation comes, you resist it. You say, no, I'm not going to be moved out of peace. I'll tell you something else I decided about teaching. The first couple times I started teaching, anxious and nervous it like consumed me for a week. When I first started, a week, I'm like, don't ask me to do anything else. I've got to teach in a week. You can't even expect me to do anything else because I'm studying on this subject and this is what I'm working on and I'm focused. Well, you can't get anything else done if that's all you're doing, right? So I finally realized, okay. And God just started adding more to me and more to me, more responsibility and more responsibility. I thought, okay, I can do this. And I made a decision that I was not going to get nervous. I made a decision
that I wasn't going to let it consume me. It was just flat out a decision. I'll teach, I'll give what I have, I will study, but I'm not going to be moved out of peace. And it's important. If you've got a big project coming at work, you need to make a decision. I'm not going to be moved out of peace. I will be diligent, I will be efficient, I will be effective, I will lean on God, I will pray, and that's what I do. I go to God, I pray, tell me what to do, and then I put it, and then I implement it. He wants us in perfect peace. We're to be doers of the word. And so we are to guard our heart. Because your heart is you. That's the real you. It's not your, the real you isn't the body. The real you isn't necessarily just the mind. The real you is your spirit. He's saying guard your spirit, for out of it flow the issues of life. Okay, let's go back to this. Did we ever get to this? Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, when he said you being evil, he's speaking to unbelievers, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? How much more shall your Father give what is good to those who ask him? Healing is a good thing. He's telling you right here, if you ask for healing, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for healing, he's not going to give you a snake. How much more would your Father who loves you give you good things? Turn to James 1:17.
Perfect gifts come from above, and God brings to you perfect gifts. So I've just brought up this on healing and want to remind you that healing can be like drinking chocolate milk. The milk is great, you just pour in the chocolate syrup, but if you don't stir it up, it can sink to the bottom, and it settles. And healing can do the same thing in your spirit. Once you've heard it, and you've heard it, and you've heard it, it can settle to the bottom of your spirit. You've got to get that stuff stirred up. You've got to get the Spirit of God stirred up on the inside. You've got to get yourself stirred up in the things of God, stirred up in healing. And when you stir that up, then you've got good chocolate milk. And we've got to stir up the gifts. We've got to stir up the gifts that are within you. We've got to stir up the teaching you've heard on healing so that you're using it and you're applying it. You don't want it to just settle in the Spirit or just settle in God. You want to stir, keep that stirred up, and use what you're learning. This is the time to use what you're learning. As you're having this amount of content coming at you, this amount of content that you're reading, you want to use it and apply it. Take these as opportunities. If there are bumps in the road, they're opportunities for you to overcome. I'm not saying God brought them as a good opportunity. It's not what I'm saying. But if they're there, it is something for you to overcome. So go ahead and overcome. Whatever it is, overcome. Get with God. Find out what it is, how you overcome, how you do it, and go for it. Because you're in a focused time in the Word right now where you got to get this stuff. You got to get this stuff. You got to know it. You got to learn it. You got to be able to apply it. This is your time. You got to get this now. You got to get it when we're teaching the class. So you guys are. You're getting it, and you're applying it, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But this is your time. And again, it does you no good